Sorry. Hey, everybody. It's Thursday, October 26th at the 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. The year is 2017. This is Elaine, and today we're going to be talking about activating the brain, and I am starting the recording a little late, but we're still taking aim, so it's not too late. Sorry for the delay for those of you listening. And Maya, back to you.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so the celebration is that my son, he struggled a lot last year, and he's still doing really well at school. I'm going to take aim on his academics this week, and because his quarter ends next week. And what tends to happen with him always is he starts off strong, and then he kind of fades. So I'm trying to help him finish the quarter strong, and we had that conversation, and I don't want to step in too much, but because he's doing really well and he's, you know, definitely always wants to be in control. And I noticed a lot when I'm driving into school, he'll say, all you ever talk about is schoolwork, you know, you always talk about schoolwork. And so, you know, that was really good that he said that, and I was noticing that. And I guess maybe it's because he has struggled a lot in the past, but now he's doing really well, and I guess I just kind of want him to stay on that trajectory. But if I don't talk about it, I guess I don't know how to bring it up without, you know, him saying, oh, all you ever do is talk about schoolwork. So
well,
it's kind of
what I love about it, I just want to acknowledge you for a minute, because what I love about him saying that to you is he has had enough, you've done enough relationship rebuilding in the last 6-8 months to a year that he actually is asking for a different kind of relationship with you. And that's actually pretty exciting. You know, what he's saying to you is, come on, Mom, there's other stuff, right? And part of that is layoff, and part of that is he wouldn't be saying that if he didn't want to talk to you about something else.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So I guess I just don't talk about schoolwork with him.
Well, it may be, but so the question so where you want to take aim today, it sounds like it's a little like Lisa's, is, you know, making a decision about how do you want to deal with this pull between wanting to support him to finish strong and wanting to give him autonomy.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I just wrote down help him finish the quarter strong because he tends to fade at the end. Yeah, but without
and
him, like,
I also hear something about not wanting to empower him to be independent and wanting to have this other part of your relationship with him.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like that. You know, it's kind of like funny because I'm like, okay, well, now what do we talk about?
Right. Which is great. It's a great place to be. I mean, you worked really hard to get to this place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in retrospect, it's really strange. But so I have two boys, and one of them went off to college this year. He's 18, and then my younger son, Daniel, is 15, and Daniel has more, you know, issues. So I think maybe it's also that his brother is gone, that he gets a lot more attention.
Yeah,
and
that was my son's greatest fear.
Well, it makes me kind of sad, though, because it just took, like, 18 years. I mean, we didn't have, like, a difficult – Daniel and I didn't have a difficult relationship the whole time. But, I mean, it shouldn't take his brother going away, right, for him and I to have a better relationship or him to want to talk to me more.
Well, here's what I'll tell you, is that's not unusual. He used to have more probably conversations with his brother.
Yeah.
So he's not getting as much interaction at home, period. And while part of him probably likes that, part of him is like, yeah, there's, you know, he's seeking. I have a much different and closer relationship with my son who's still at home now than I did when his sisters were home. It's just a different dynamic.
Right.
I guess what I would encourage you is don't make it bad or wrong. Don't make yourself wrong for it. It's just here's where you are. How do you want to be with it now?
Yeah, I mean, and now, you know, I think that my younger son's getting a lot more positive attention. And before, I think he was seeking attention and just not knowing how to get it. So he was doing all this, you know, acting out. And, yeah, so kind of funny. Like, it just happened. It's a lot better.
Yeah. All right, well, let's leave that there for now, if that's okay with you. I know it's not a clear place. You've got a couple of different options for taking aim, but let's see what shows up in the call. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want to talk about today, the topic for today is activating the brain. And it's the first of the four cornerstones or critical responses in planning. Like whenever we're sort of looking at a problem we want to solve or change we want to create, one of the places to look is what's the brain got to do with it? Now, where is their brain or our brain, you know, if we're dealing with our own reactivity in this conversation, and what can we do to engage it, to enhance it, to optimize it, minimize it, you know, whatever it is, but what's the role that it's playing in the dynamic? So, you know, we know with all of you have got somewhat older kids, you're trying to sort of, you're all dealing with this issue of when do I step in and when do I step back, right? And so when we look at activating the brain, we may be looking at, you know, what triggers and what doesn't, right? Where is their brain when I'm having these thoughts and conversations? Is there a conversation that I might want to have at the beginning of the day or the middle of the day that I wouldn't have at the end of the day? You know, where are they in terms of receiving the information? Where is their brain? As well as, you know, what needs to happen to enhance the brain for better, you know, performance or activity or whatever. We were talking a couple of days ago with another group of younger kids about, you know, helping kids understand activating the brain so that they learn to use it as a strategy for their own management. So getting a kid to a point where he knows that he needs to have a protein snack before he does his homework, or he may need to go, you know, run around the neighborhood or do some pull-ups or do a, you know, I was just talking about when my kids were little, we used to do wheelbarrows around the house before homework, right? Or just something, because they, helping them make the connection between activating their brain and getting something done effectively, right? And sometimes that's going to be medication for some of our kids, but often it's also going to be exercise or nutrition or drinking or sleeping well. Like my middle kid is really good at, has learned a lot about sleep management and sleep hygiene, and really knows how much better she functions, even in college, when she gets 7 hours of sleep a night. And so she's learned what that does for her in terms of activating her brain during the day. So we want to, part of this is about helping them come to understand this connection and then recognizing it for ourselves as well. So when we're looking to activate the brain, part of it is about understanding that executive function requires activation, that, you know, when you don't have the dopamine that comes from a different kind of motivation centers in the brain, you got to find other ways to do it. And so teaching them how to consciously engage and activate their brain. And I think I'll stop there and just sort of ask what comes up for people. What are you thinking, noticing, aware of as you think about activating the brain?
Well, what was coming up for me when you were talking about this is that this is like a big issue for us, because my son he likes to procrastinate about starting his homework. And I know he's tired after school, so he kind of takes a little break. But then, you know, I always say, like, why don't you have a protein snack or something? And he never wants to eat, and he doesn't want to exercise. So I think somehow, I guess, making him aware of how this, you know, either eating a snack or doing some exercise will activate his brain, because he doesn't really see the connection there.
Mm-hmm. So there are two things that I heard you say. One is I heard you say he likes to procrastinate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to offer maybe a shift of language there to say he doesn't like to start his homework right away after school.
Well, yes, that's true. But it's really funny. Last week he said, you know, I'm really good at procrastinating. And I was just like, wow.
What a great, you know, awareness.
Yeah. I don't know how he figured that out. But then, of course, once I was like, yeah, you got to start your homework, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, didn't want to talk about it. But he did figure that out. So,
and what I want, when I help you get to, Maya, is not, okay, go start your homework, but help him become more aware of it. Help him think about what he just noticed. Really, what makes you say that? Like, get a sense of, is he really procrastinating, or is he deciding he's not going to start his homework till 5 o'clock because he needs a break? Like, and he's gotten used to calling it lazy or procrastinating or whatever because that's what the world tells him. Like, really ask him some questions to help raise his self-awareness around it instead of bringing him straight to task, right? We want him, because that's a great awareness he had. So what does he mean by that? What's really happening for him? That's where he's going to learn the skills and maybe learn, well, it may be that he needs a break and his brain needs a break before he can start again, and that may actually be something that works for him. And that's when you can tie it into, well, what else helps you get started? You know, do you work better after you go play soccer or basketball? You know, but ask it as a question instead of telling him the answer. Ask the question so that he comes up with the answer.
Okay. I just think, you know, once again, I'm going to have that problem about you're always talking about schoolwork, but I think I could just say I'm going to ask you just one question. You know, sometimes that works, and then I just, you know, let it go after that.
Well, you can make it not about schoolwork. You could say, you know, I was thinking about you. You said last week you're good at procrastinating. I was just curious what you mean by that. What were you thinking? Don't you don't have to bring it back to school. Let him bring it back. But maybe he's procrastinating because he doesn't feel like taking a shower.
Yeah, or cutting his hair or brushing
his
teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you ask, you'd be amazed sometimes that we think they're talking about one thing and they're talking about something completely different. You know? But if you, what we know about the brain is that if you tell somebody something, you have, I think the numbers are like a 50-50 chance of them actually receiving the information and using it. But if they come up with that something on their own, I think they have like a 70% chance of taking it and using it. So just that difference between asking a question and letting them answer it and telling them what you want them to know has the significant impact on their ability to use the information.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and we know that, but it's hard to do, right?
Yes.
So what else comes up for you guys around activating the brain?
This is Lisa. What comes up for me, and always it's been a challenge for years, is because of my work schedule and my son's schedule, again, he's in college now, and we're divorced, and when he's with his father and when he's with me, and he's with me like 80% of the time, there are all of these parameters that my son places on when we can even have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes in the evening, when I get home, and he doesn't get home until the evening, he makes it very clear, and I really feel he's correct. He's just not at a place where he wants to talk about much. He just wants to shut down and relax.
Mm-hmm.
So then I simultaneously feel the pressure of, you need to talk about a couple of things. And oftentimes, as Maya, I can relate to Maya, this whole thing about, you know, just talking about school. And a lot of that has to do with years in the past, he really, because he was angry about a lot of things, he didn't want to talk, period. And sometimes I felt I had to talk. It was irresponsible I was irresponsible if I didn't talk to him, you know, trying to check in. So I had that history, that background, and now he's much more open, well, in comparison to the past, to talking.
Right.
But still, it's, again, I have these little windows of opportunity. So on the weekend, if he's around on the weekend, and if I'm around on the weekend, I might say the night before, you know, give him a heads up, listen, we really have to talk about a couple of things, but sort of review, especially his time management. He doesn't have time management. And then my attempt to try to help him, and he sort of agrees to it. And then invariably, something happens in life that it gets in the way of us talking about something really helpful. At least I think it's helpful. And so it's very frustrating for me. So I don't, I do try to help him. What works for you in terms of the brain activation and the many other skills that could help him? But 65% of the time, I get in the way, but then I hold it in for maybe a week or two. But then I become more anxious, and I have to be careful about my anxious energy, because that pushes me
right,
away.
Right, of course. So let me stop you for just a second, if I can, because there are a lot of issues here,
sure.
So I want to unpack it and try to keep us focused with it, right? So what
Thank
I'm
you.
Hearing is
yeah.
you're doing some initial conversation saying, there's something I want to talk to you about or we've got to talk about. And when it gets derailed, at that time, it doesn't sound like there's a, well, you know, we were going to use this time for this, but since this has come up, when can we have this conversation? So you're not rescheduling it. Is that correct?
Yes, because he refused. He won't. He says, I don't know. I'll let you know.
So there's the place to push and say, I get that you don't know, but it really makes a difference. So there are two issues here. One is, if you really want to schedule an appointment to talk to your kids, which we do have to do with older teens, right?
Right.
Is to be really nonchalant and clear about it, and to make sure and to get the agreement, and if not, to go for it, to keep pushing till you get it, but keep it not pushing in an adamant way, but in a, you know, my schedule's really busy. It would help me a lot if we could come up with a time so I know I can count on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like very matter-of-fact, very almost business-like. They're young adults beginning to, they understand, they have, their teachers have office hours, like they sort of get it on some level.
Right.
So piece to this, it's about setting a clear expectation. When we want something of them or want them to do something or have a conversation with us, which is what it often is with older teens, it's really important to be really clear about, I want to talk to you about something, and it would help me a lot to have a time when I know that we have some time to talk about this. When would work for you? And if it gets changed, to be able to say, I'm fine with it changing, and this is really important, it would really help me, please let's schedule another time. And if you come to it from a perspective of, you know, put it back on you a little bit. Instead of, whenever you say to a kid, we need to talk, what do you think they hear?
Oh, yeah, I'm in trouble, what didn't I do? You know, it's a negative, yeah.
Right, they hear, I did something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so part of our job in this process is to figure out how to get to that conversation without them already being triggered by the time we have it.
Right, right.
And
you're right.
Defensive. You want to keep them off the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So
as soon as you say,
we need to talk, and especially if he knows what we need to talk about is you lecturing him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he don't want to hear it.
Yep.
So what would
and
be
I try
different?
Not to.
I know. I hear you. You get points for trying.
But, you know, my problem, though, is he has no sense of time.
I get that.
He really
and
doesn't.
We know that about him.
So he doesn't know. But
what you just
but
said.
He doesn't know how
stop
to spend.
Go ahead. I understand, but I want you to hear for a minute. What you said a few minutes ago was, this is your anxiety.
Yes.
If you don't have the conversation, you get more anxious. This is your issue.
Yeah, you're right.
He does have his issues. That's fine. He's going to have them. Time blindness is probably one of his issues. He's got plenty of them. And the issue of you needing him to hear something, needing to explain something to him, is actually your issue, not his.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
You're right. Yeah, I was 100% there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's hard. I mean, and every single one of us on this call has this experience and knows exactly what I'm saying, right? Anybody here not resonate with this?
Yeah. No, I resonate.
Okay. I mean, every one of us. Because it's like, oh, God, if she just understood, if she would just listen, right?
Yeah.
If they would just, is our issue, not theirs.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So these kids are old enough where if you really want to be of service and you really want them to learn from whatever it is, the first place to start from is to step out of forcing our agenda on them and meeting them where they are and helping them figure out what's their agenda and how to achieve what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, even Maya, you've got the youngest kid here in this group right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's done made some amazing strides in the last 6 months of becoming independent and moving forward. And you can go back to him now and say, well, in the past you haven't finished strong, so I'm going to step in now just to make sure. Or you can go to him and say, man, you are doing so great. How can I help? What can I do to support you? Because what you're you've made such progress and such strides.
Oh, I just had to go out for a second. So this is Maya. Were you talking about me? Sounds like you were.
Yeah. Yep.
I just had a workman come over and he needed my attention for a second. So, yeah, I think that's good. I think he does really well with compliments. So maybe I can just say, yeah, like you said, you're doing really well. And what do you need to do to finish?
No, stop for a minute. Not what do you need to do, right? What's working? What's not working? How can I help? What needs to be different? How can I support you? Is very different from, you're doing great. I want to make sure you stay with it. What are you going to do? Right? Because that's going to put him back in that defensive posture.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
Right? So it's really, every one of you are at a place with your kids where they're beginning to step out, beginning to be more independent, having some success with it. And you're worried they're not gonna stick with it. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
One more. Is that fair?
I'm not worried that she's gonna stick with it. I'm clear she's gonna stick with it. She has convinced me. It's so wonderful.
Yeah. I was going to say, Vilma, you're in a somewhat different place because this is where you were about a year ago, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Right?
But
and now here you
also
are.
Also, one thing I wanted to just add for the other two. The first year in college is insanely difficult for the kids, and I see that as a college professor. These freshmen are like, they're like a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they need more compassion than ever, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just
hoping
that
I had a professor describe it to me once as they go off to college as high school seniors, and they come back to college after Thanksgiving break. They come back as college freshmen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's quick. That's a quick one.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that my son will get to college. My second son.
Your son is demonstrating to you a whole new commitment to his education now that he's owning it differently. And
mm-hmm.
Is it possible that he may slide a little bit and not finish the semester as strong as he started? Yes.
Absolutely.
But wouldn't you rather him feel great about what he did do instead of only seeing that you see that he could have done better?
Yeah. I mean, I have definitely been praising him a lot, and he likes that. So
yeah.
I guess I just stay in that mode. Yep. Yep.
Yes, it does.
It does. I mean, so you know, two of you are in a place where it's like, do I step in or not? Or how do I step in a way that's really supportive, right? I want to make sure I don't step in too much, but I want to be supportive. You know, and Vilma, you're actually at a somewhat different place where you're saying, okay, I actually need help.
Yeah.
How do I ask for the help I need?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it sounds in some way like this conversation with your kids is about sort of negotiating how we support each other as a family.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's coming up for people? How does that land, or what does that make you think about?
I really do think after going through the coaching with you all, this is the key. You know, building the family structure as a relationship. And the other stuff will take care of itself.
Say a little bit
more.
Once
there is that foundation and the trust that goes with having a foundation, each one of you can do the best that they can do. I mean, this is what we need to support. We're always saying support. I think that's the support. You know, so like for the example, you know, finding out whether your son is taking advantage of SAS, of the accommodations and so forth, that sort of thing. That's all gonna work if your relationship works. You won't even need to ask. It'll just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they can rely on you. They know they can count on you. So
what I would add to that is to count on you to support them in what they feel like they need.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. You're right. They're targeting their own needs.
What's their agenda,
rather than
not
us
yours.
Doing it. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And very often it's really the same one as you have, you know, because we are a family after all. They don't come up with values way outside of that.
I mean, their priorities may be a little different, but at the end of the day, we're all there. They usually are working on the same values.
Yeah.
Right. But so how does that trust for you, Vilma, the trust that you've built with your daughter,
mm-hmm.
inform your question about how do you ask for help from her? What do you trust about where you are in your relationship now?
I think that she would very much she wants to be helpful.
Okay.
So if I put it to her in a straightforward style, like you were mentioning, almost professional style,
mm-hmm.
I think she would really come up with some of solutions herself. Instead of me worrying about, oh, you don't have time, you got to do this, and such and such, instead of me taking all that on, I think she could very well come up with her own creative, I know she could, ways of helping. I've seen her do that, so yeah.
So
I can
what
trust
do you
her
need
to figure
give
it out.
Her, you can trust her to figure it out, I love that. So what permission do you need to give her, or what do you need to design with her to let go of your guilt?
Oh. I don't know. How do I do that?
How do I do that?
So how do I do that? First of all, I have to stop, you know, myself. I know it's stupid, so.
Well, but it's also human.
Interesting.
Right. So if you remember, go back to here's what you can count on me for, and this is what I need from you. Right? That's what the design is. So you can count on me maybe to tell you where I'm struggling right now with this vertigo thing, the double vision thing. And I need some help from you, and I need you to tell me if what I'm asking, if you can't do it. Because I don't want to put pressure on you, because that would actually be harder on me.
Right.
Right? But to just say that transparently, like, I need some help, and I want you to promise me that you're going to tell me if it's too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, or maybe you can figure out where you can fit it in. I can say to her, you can figure this out. Yeah.
Right. Or can you help me?
Sure.
Right? But it's absolutely reasonable to design with her. You know, remember that article, Relationships by Design is the name of the article.
Okay,
here's what you can count on
that.
Me for. And this is what I need from you. You can count on me. So for Maya, it may be, you can count on me to keep supporting you because you're doing such a great job. And I just need you to let me know when I'm stepping over the line. We've talked about that before. Or when you need some help. Or, you know, you can count on me to only do one thing a day, and I just need you to let me know. Whatever it is. Like, this could be different for you, Maya, than for you, Lisa. For Lisa, it may be... You can count on me to really support you. I know you're trying really hard to be independent here, and it would really help me a lot to just to know what's going on, because I get anxious if I don't have a sense of knowing. And you can count on me. I'll stay out of it and let you do your thing, and I'd really like it if you would just keep me informed so that I'm not so anxious. Does that make sense? Lisa, does that land? I know
that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So you want us to actually say to, you know, like have a conversation and say, here's what you can count on me for. And then for me, I just say, you're doing a great job and need to let me know what you need help on. That just ask them that.
Yeah. Like, you can count on me. I've been making a really strong effort to step back and let you handle this independently, and I'm continuing to try. And what I need from you is you know that if I don't know what's going on, I get anxious. Or, you know, I like to feel helpful or something. And so, like, just let me know how I can help, because I really do want to be helpful. And I know you're trying really hard to finish this term, you know, really, really strong. And I want to be able to support that. Right. I mean, these are transparent conversations are the things that we assume that we forget to say out loud. Or we don't tend to say out loud. But when we do, it's like it deflates all of the tension and the defensiveness. Right? Mm-hmm. Particularly for those of you, if the issue is really it's hard for us to manage our own anxiety, then own it. I know you're working really hard at being independent, and I'm trying so hard to step back and let you do that. And it's hard for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a powerful thing for a kid to hear. I'm working on my own self-management because it's hard. It's a powerful thing for a kid to hear from a parent. It's so human.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, it equalizes the relationship more, so you know, the trust gets deeper.
Right. Right. This is that moving into stage three or phase three and phase four of parenting, right? This is their job, and our job is to support them. We're no longer directing. And both Lisa, both of you, Lisa and Maya, started this call basically saying, I sort of want to step in and direct a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the problem, though, and I don't know, maybe I'm not thinking correctly about this, but the words I've used with my son is the stakes are high. He won't be able to continue in the school, and I think it's a wonderful match. And I personally will be heartbroken for him.
Yeah.
If he loses the scholarship. And
so, and
I base
instead of, and that's an anxiety-based approach. So reframe
right?
it a
that's
little bit.
True.
Try this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know how much you like it there and how important it is for you to be successful there, because I know you want to stay there. That's now his agenda, not yours.
Right. No, you're right.
Okay. And so if I'm a little anxious about her, or if I'm a little overbearing, I just want you to know it's because I know how important it is to you.
Yep.
And I want to be able to support you in, because I know you are so happy and thriving here. It's a tweak of language, but it's incredibly powerful.
I agree 100%. Yeah, and you know, as I think back to the conversation when I said the stakes are high, it's when I'm frustrated because he continually says, no, not now, not now, not a good time to talk. And this is, he's so frustrating for me.
How do you think he would respond if you had a talk and the talk wasn't you directing him to do something, but you just saying to him, I care so much, and I just want you to know I want to help?
I say that about 4 or 5 times a week. I begin. I really do. But I think, again, a lot of external things that get in the way of the timing for us.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make the timing ideal for him to have conversations. And it's just
well,
lately,
but after you
too.
Say that, where do you uh-huh. then go from there to but? I mean, do you move from there, or do you just let that land?
Lately, I've been letting it land.
Good.
I just go away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's when our own anxiety management becomes so key. It's hard. I mean, because the truth is, Lisa, you can't guarantee that he's going to keep the scholarship, and it's not in your control.
No, it's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Yep.
Right?
Logically, I know, and thank you for reminding me. Yeah.
So I know this conversation steered very far away from executive activating the brain, and that's fine because, you know, we were where we needed to be today. And, you know, it may be that today was just not a lesson on activating the brain, you know, or it may be that you think about how does this tie in and what aspect of activating the brain can help you? Like, what do you need to do to maybe manage your anxiety around this issue? That may be an activating the brain issue for you. Like, is there some meditation? Is there some yoga? Do you need to take a walk? What do you need to do to be able to keep yourself calm and present to support your kids without letting your anxiety take over the relationship? Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what this was, the lesson is for today. But I want you to just stop and ask yourselves, what do you feel like you focused on today? What's your aha? What are you taking away from today? And if you have a commitment to action, what is that? And how can you be successful with it? Set yourself up for success with it. What's your aha?
Can I go? It's Velma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just checking over the activating your brain page 24, and what my aha moment is from that is that getting buy-in from her into this help situation that I need from her is done. It's easy. That she is already motivated and that all I have to do is keep it simple. Just keep it simple. And
that's
so
brilliant.
That is also part of activating the brain strategies always to, you know, keep it simple. And so that's my aha. Just keep it simple. Let her take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you. Who else?
Thank you.
This is Maya. Well, my aha is that, you know, just keep praising him and then say, you know, you're doing very well. How can I support you? Instead of, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do next? How are you going to handle it? I guess that's more directing still than just giving him, he does respond well to praise. So just giving him a lot of praise and then just saying, you know, how are you going to keep it up? And then trying to bring in the procrastinating somehow too, like, what were you talking about? And, you know, get him to see, like, the procrastinating kind of sometimes leads to the homework issues and not getting tests done, you know, not studying enough. And but just asking
him.
But
he
like,
knows that. You don't need to tell him that. If he told you he's procrastinating, he knows that. Don't try to convince him of anything, Maya. Just help him become aware of what is it. Is he really procrastinating, or does he need a break? Does he know his brain needs a break? Educate him about activating the brain and what does it take. Show him the workbook, the page from the workbook for today, and say, you know, this is what I was learning today, and I realized, you know, I'm curious, were you procrastinating, or do you need a break after this before you get started? You know, just even if he says, no, Mom, I was really procrastinating, you've still had an access to educate him a little bit. Without telling him what to do.
Right. Well, with the procrastinating, he was talking about, like, getting his hair cut and buying new sneakers. He wasn't tying it to schoolwork.
Okay. So all the more, even better, to get curious. It's like, so if you're procrastinating, what's going on? What's behind that? Like, help him understand what's between him and the action he wants to take. Is it boring? Is it too much organization? Is he not motivated? Like, what is it? The more you can break it down without judging, the more he's going to learn from it that he can apply to other things like school.
Okay.
Because it's pretty typical for a kid with ADHD to procrastinate. But you got to understand which part of executive function is behind it. So that he can figure out a way to activate the brain that really works for him. Okay. Lisa, what about you? What are you taking away?
That I have to put more of the focus on me and on perhaps meditation or something to better address my energy and anxiety so that we're in a better space when we do talk, because he does, which I just learned within the last year, respond in a negative way to my anxiety.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It doesn't bode well for him at all, and I don't want that.
No. Right. And so can I offer one more thing on top of that?
Sure.
Is to really own it with him, is to say, I get that this is my issue. And I'm trying to manage that.
Okay,
and that will actually give you a place to sort of ask the favor of say, and so it would, one thing, I'm working on it, and it would help me a lot if you would just be willing to share with me occasionally so I understand where you are so I can be more peaceful about it, because I believe you're doing a great job, and I can't help it. This is my issue, you know, and I'm working on it.
Yeah. Okay.
You try that?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. You guys rock.
Thank
this is the hard
now
salad.
You are.
And you're doing an amazing job. You really are. Just keep playing with it. Keep working with it. Keep trusting yourselves. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Hey, thanks.
Everyone else, too. Bye.
Bye.